This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Radio.com Sports presents Bet Sweats with Joe Ostrowski, breaking down the latest in sports betting.
You know Eli Herskovich is our college basketball maven here at Radio.com Sports. If you follow him on Twitter and you have not been blocked at him and you haven't been forced to create a burner account just so you can get Eli Herskovich's picks, you know that because he went 2-0 last night, gave us Michigan State the underdog. They win outright. And it was sweaty, Eli. It was sweaty. But we had Kentucky getting 4.5, getting 5 points. Didn't win the game outright, but we're hoping the foul situation on the final stretch was okay. Thank you, Kansas, for missing free throw after free throw after free throw. Eli, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm like, yeah. Eli keeps telling me how great college basketball is. This is a fucking shit show, man. These guys can't even do what high schoolers can do. They can't make a free throw. But they missed 3 in a row down the stretch.
Yeah, Agbaji missed 2. Kentucky didn't box out. And then Braun gets to the line. I think it was Braun for Kansas.
That was brutal.
Misses 1 of 2. Yeah, it was. Listen, at least Kentucky cashed. I got to say, if that was a Kentucky dunk at the end of the game, I'm not saying college basketball is looking at the betting line, but I think that would have counted. I thought it was before the buzzer. I thought they were going to count it. I thought it was going to push my Kentucky +5 bet. They didn't count the dunk for Braun for Kansas, and Kentucky loses by 3. So we got a little lucky, I'd say.
So I got a lot to say, okay, Eli. I watched a bunch of college basketball last night for you and for this show. The first thing I would say, it's weird watching, and I tweeted this at Ross Tucker NFL, and I won't block you, no matter what, because I get all the time, but I don't have thin skin. Number one is football games without fans, totally weird. And I broadcasted 20 games, it seems like, already this year. Weird. But watching Duke basketball without the student, that was so bizarre. And so the question is, Eli, I have to ask this. What is home court advantage typically in college basketball? And what is it now, especially at a place like Duke?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. We were talking about this yesterday on the show. I thought the market was giving Duke a little too much credit for being at home yesterday. And Michigan State got off to a bad start. They were down by 10, I think, at the first 5 or 6 minutes of that game. But granted, I'm not saying every college basketball team gets rattled by a crowd, especially a team that's coached by Tom Izzo. But they were able to get back into the game. I would say partially because you weren't affected, or Michigan State wasn't affected by the crowd. That is one of the best home court advantages in college basketball at Cameron Indoor. And Hauser played great. Rocket Watts was phenomenal in the second half. Josh Lankford, the player that was out a couple of years that I mentioned, came back for Michigan State this season, played some point, shot the ball a little bit in the second half. So yeah, it was a big factor last night in Michigan State getting back into the game. And as we watch college basketball, I would say on Sunday, everyone was watching the NFL. Of course, I was watching college hoops. Texas Tech against Houston, that was the first game I watched in a long time, any sort of sporting event, where the crowd seemed to have an effect on Texas Tech coming back in the second half. In the South, I'm not, you know, making any statements, but there are more fans allowed at certain events. So I would say it has a big effect on these games. And I think typically, Ross, you're getting about 2.5 to 3 points with a major home court advantage in college basketball to the spread. But There are going to be changes similar to what we've seen in the NFL and college football for sure.
All right. Yeah, people here are listening on the radio.com app live to BetSweats, or they're hearing the podcast before all these games get rolling. They want to hear from some picks, some angles from Eli Herskovich. So let's go. We're going to hit 4 games in chronological order. 1:30 Eastern time is when Indiana and Stanford will tip. And at the moment, we have Pick'em right now over at PointsBet.
Yeah, Indiana got absolutely drilled by Texas yesterday. A lot of people I saw on Twitter were on Indiana. I'm not saying, okay, fade the public, fade the noise, Joe. You know I'm not that kind of person. But Indiana, just going back to the Providence game, Providence couldn't catch any breaks in that game. Indiana was hitting a lot of their threes and decent backcourt, a couple good shooters. But they, in order for Indiana to have success, Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson need to be effective down low against a really good defensive team and a really good defensive front court in Texas. That just wasn't going to be the case. I was thinking about Texas money line or Texas. I think they were about a 1-point dog. Tyler Morales, the producer of You Better You Bet with Nick and Ken on weeknights from 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Got to get the plug in, of course. Company guy. He was talking about taking Texas too. Didn't pull the trigger. I wish I did. So just looking ahead to this game, I think it's a play to the under. A little bit of a lean to me for the under. Not an official play, Dylan, if you want to play the drop. But I think that's the best angle for these two teams heading into this one with the third leg of a tournament. And again, you're talking about a pretty good team in Stanford defensively, like we saw yesterday against UNC. Indiana, maybe not so much, but again, offensively, I'm not expecting a lot from them. Zaire Williams, one of the best freshmen in college basketball. Third leg, you don't know how these guys are going to do in terms of stamina when they didn't have a lot of practice time coming into the season and they didn't have a lot of scrimmages. These are essentially the team's first scrimmages of the season. So under 133.5 would be my lean for Stanford and Indiana.
Not an official play by me. Nice. See, that drop will live in infamy. All right, what about, you were talking about Texas earlier. What about UNC Texas?
Yeah, I like Texas. And this line, currently on points bet, I believe it's North Carolina getting a point. So Texas laying one. A little bit of juice for UNC. Total of 138. Similar to Indiana Stanford, I would have a lean to the under in this game too. Third game of a tournament for both of these teams. And two pretty good defensive teams. Texas maybe more so. And they're limited offensively too. So you take that into account. But again, going back to yesterday's game with Stanford and UNC, I thought Stanford should have won that game. One of Stanford's guards was hurt in the first half, so that played a role in UNC coming back in the second half. Still a really good UNC front court with Baycott and another good big that's been there, I feel like, for 3 or 4 years. But going into this game, I feel like the market, and I'm hoping the market, is high on UNC like they were yesterday. That line hovered around 4. I think it opened at around 3, and it jumped up to 4. So I'm hoping we can get Texas maybe +1 when the market comes back on the Tar Heels. Actually, oh no, I thought the market came back on UNC right there. The line just jumped in Stanford, Indiana, that one to Stanford -2.5, which is, I guess, a little bit of a lean for me too with the Cardinal after yesterday's loss. But yeah, I like Texas to win this game against UNC, hoping to get a little bit more value with Texas laying a point right now. But that's a little bit of a stronger lean, and I'll post it on Twitter later today if I make the play, if the line moves the way I want it to. Texas, again, offensively, I have a lot of questions for this team in the short term and the long term, especially going back to yesterday. Greg Brown, 12 minutes, freshman, 5-star, one of the better freshmen in college basketball, but just seemed out of it mentally. And Shaka Smart sat him down and didn't really play him a ton. But very experienced backcourt with Matt Coleman, Andrew Jones, could stretch the floor. And even with Brown on the bench, really athletic bigs that can give this UNC front court with Baycott, who's their best scorer for the Tar Heels in the front court, some issues. So, again, I think you're getting some value with Texas, but want a little bit more before I pull the trigger on the Longhorns.
So Eli likes Texas, and he's hoping to get a better line right there. 7 o'clock Eastern, it's time to gush over West Virginia. Gonzaga, the number one ranked team in the country, is favored by 8.5, total 154.5.
Yeah. Talked about this on the show yesterday. I officially invested in a West Virginia college basketball title future, 20-1. The story's up on radio.com along with the podcast link if you missed it from yesterday's show. But just, again, looking at this West Virginia team and why I like them long-term and short-term, it applies to both, not only for the tournament but also for tonight's game against Gonzaga. They play at a slow tempo. Just outside the top 150, so about the bottom half of college basketball in terms of tempo and average possession length. You think about Gonzaga, they want to push the floor with Jalen Suggs, one of the best freshmen in college basketball. They have Corey Kispert, one of the best three-point shooters in the country. Timmy, I don't know if he's in the Naismith conversation, but considering how good Gonzaga is, I guess you could put him in the mix there. Really good big that's really skilled underneath the basket and has a little bit of a floor spacing game too. But this West Virginia team, I think, is going to challenge Timmy in the front court with Derek Culver and especially Tshiebwe, one of the better defensive bigs in college basketball. And then if West Virginia is able to control the glass, and especially offensively, this is one of the best offensive rebounding teams in college basketball. In fact, last year, the best offensive rebounding team in the country, and Tshiebwe and Culver were two of the best offensive rebounders. So that obviously plays into the factor there and into the stat. They're going to be able to control the tempo even more because you're going to limit Gonzaga's opportunities to run. So this line sitting at Gonzaga minus 8.5 right now, I believe. And I think the public is going to – actually, it's up to 9. So I think we're going to be able to get a West Virginia plus 9.5 closer to tip-off. I am not touching this. You know, if it goes back down to 8.5, fine. I'll wait until tip-off because I think there's a better chance the public is going to come in on Gonzaga. Maybe, just maybe, this line gets up to 10. And we're talking double figures for a team that I think has a shot to win outright. Yeah, it's insane, man. But again, it goes back to the public darling in college basketball. That's Gonzaga right now. And if you look at the futures market, the title market, they're priced at 7-1. So this is a sell high point in the season for Gonzaga against a team that matches up really well in terms of playing against Gonzaga's biggest strength, which is pushing the floor and speeding you up.
Eli, last one for me. Baylor, Illinois. Break it down for me. Your home state squad, the squad you love, against Baylor.
Yeah, I know Joe was mentioning this to me before the show. We can't bet on this fucking game in the state of Illinois. What, Joe, can you just, obviously you've been following Illinois legislature for a long time. You've been all over the coverage. Yeah, can you just break it down for our audience? Like, what's going on in the state and why you can't bet on an Illinois basketball game right now?
I think people are more interested in hearing your breakdown on the game, but I'll just, in a few seconds. Basically, when they tried to pass sports betting, they were able to do it with flying colors. They didn't know the vote was going to be that dominant. They were concerned that the athletic directors were not on board. It started with the University of Illinois AD, Josh Whitman. He went down to Springfield, and he lobbied for this, and he got all the other ADs on board with him. They fought for this. They said, please, you can't post events involving Illinois teams. Please do this for us because, whatever. It's just so stupid. So anyway, sports betting got passed. It's in the law. You can't bet on sporting events involving Illinois college teams in Illinois. Go offshore or do it illegally with a bookie.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I just came back to Chicago from Philadelphia. Now I want to move back to bet on this game with Illinois Baylor. But looking at the line right now, I believe it's still sitting at Baylor minus 5.5. Okay, so it's down to Baylor minus 5. A little bit juice towards the Bears. And Scott Drew, by the way, is coaching this game. Tested positive for COVID over the last couple weeks. So he's back for the Bears, one of the best coaches in college basketball. Brad Underwood for Illinois, as you can see on the graphic, total of about 144 down to 143. Illinois on the money line is currently sitting at 180. So money coming in on the money line for the Illini and against the spread. I was hoping for this line to get back up. I thought money would come back towards Baylor. And it still might because juice is on Baylor. Maybe we'll get a 5.5. I would bet Illinois at 5.5 if you're in a legal state. I can't bet it myself. So, Dylan, if you want to play the drop again, I can't call it an official play because I can't place the damn wager. And I took a lot of my money out of offshore accounts when I moved to Philadelphia.
But your advice is to take Illinois. But your advice is to take Illinois.
Correct. Okay. I think they cover this game, keep it within a couple possessions. My biggest issue with Illinois, I know this is a little bit devil's advocate, is really good backcourt with Iodesumu and Trent Frazier, really experienced. Io came back, but turnovers for Illinois has been a problem so far this year. And this is a team that wants to push the tempo. If Colburn hasn't faced a matchup like this, I know I was talking about a lot of Baylor coming into the season. They lose Gillespie, they lose Tristan Clark. But they still have a pretty good front court, and Batal, yes, he's undersized, but really, really good defensive player down low. So if Colburn turns the ball over a little bit, which he has a tendency to do, Baylor's going to be able to score in transition with Teague and Butler, and I love Baylor's backcourt. I just think the line is a little bit too high. I think this is closer to one possession rather than two, which is still where it's sitting at. So I'm hoping we get a 5.5 back or maybe even a 6. I probably much more likely have a chance to get a 5.5, which I think we will. I like Illinois to keep it within a couple possessions. All that being said, with the turnover problems for the Illini, and Baylor can cause that, Their opponent's turnover rate is in the top 100 in college basketball. I think Illinois is going to have an opportunity to push the tempo on this team if they're able to contend on the glass, which both of these teams are about even in size with Gillespie and Tristan Clark not on the team for Baylor this year. So I like Illinois, even, again, with the turnover problem. Two possessions to me is a little bit high. I'll be taking Illinois. I guess I give the advice of taking Illinois if this gets back up to 5.5. Fucking ridiculous, man.
All right, Eli Herskovich, go get on your call. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Fuck you, Ross.
Wow. There's our guy, Eli, to recap. He says bet Illinois, bet West Virginia. He likes Texas, and he has a small lean on Indiana and Stanford. Fuck you, Ross. Way to go out. Nice job, Eli. For no reason. For no reason. You're actually being cordial there.
I'm asking the question. I'm just sitting here smiling, listening. Man. Bro.
Been pissed for an hour that we called him out on blocking all these people.